Y'all ready to get started? We got a good looking crowd this morning, so be patient and everybody get a chance to speak. Mr. Mark.
Most times, Lord, we ask you to forgive us before we fall short of that, Lord. Lord, we ask that everything we do today be in accordance with your will. We say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. I need approval of the minutes for the planning workshop, June 20th. Motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor? Need approval of the regular, for the minutes of the regular meeting for June the 20th.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor? Vouchers. You have a chance to look at them?
I haven't.
Okay, we'll come back to the vouchers. Any officers here would like to speak? I know Mr. Wright said we ain't got no public hearing this morning, so let's go get right to it. Mr. Brown.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate you giving myself. We've got quite a few things on our agenda, but hopefully we'll go quickly, and then we have several things afterwards. As soon as my portion is over, I'm going to have to leave. We have some training in the office. Chief Marvin will be on the ground from us. We have quite a few representatives from the Department of Health here. We'll have them tonight. They come up and give you a presentation quick. A couple of things that you're going to see in a few minutes. We have received from Mr. Bailey and his firm yesterday the task work orders for Station 3 and Station 6. Station 6 is the one outside of Horseshoe Beach. We're getting close to securing a parcel of land there. We're thinking over it's going to have to line up after. Not sure yet, but we're pretty sure we're at that point. We have some meetings with Horseshoe Beach scheduled on the 30th, and we're going to have one earlier than that to discuss some things there. It looks like, and they're still assuring me, that we will have enough funding to go ahead and totally replace our Station 3 up in the 1st District. And we have a landowner that is willing to sell a piece of land there. So I think that's going to move fairly smoothly as well once we get these task orders in. You will see on those task orders that it's the same station, but one is less than the other. The design is going into one, and we're just duplicating that other station. Also, on our EOC project, Mr. Bailey and them have been working over the last few weeks after the bids were presented on some, what is the proper term? Value engineering, due to the fact that one was overbid by about $500,000. They've worked that number around. We've cut out a few things, some of our circle drives and different things, and the repaving of the office. We've done quite a few reductions there. We bought the fencing out of our local budget. That station is going to come in with everything that we will have to pay. We will come up to about, I think it was $63,000 or $67,000 that we will have to pay additionally above what the state has provided. We do have that amount of funding in our impact fees without any issues. There's no problems there. So we'll be able to cover that. And myself and Mr. Ganey and the other guys have met a couple of times. And we feel that it would be foolish to give that money back to the state and not build that building for $67,000.
Exactly, yeah.
So they will be bringing that to you. Mr. Bailey, do you want to present anything on that right now while I'm here?
I don't know. We've got the contractor here as well. So.
Okay.
How are you? You're looking at them behind me.
So it looks like that is in place. If the board is interested in doing that, we can give you more detailed numbers. If you want to give the chairman the ability to go ahead and sign those contracts between now and the next meeting, if they get them together. We are short on time. This money is good through June of 25. With the amount of time that this building is set to be built, it's only going to leave about 60 to 70 days in that time frame, which should not be an issue. But we do need to move things along as quickly as we can. So I'm not sure where the board is there, if you'd rather us bring it back at the next meeting, or if you want to go ahead and give the chairman permission to approve based on those numbers that we have received.
All your numbers are in line?
Yes, sir. Like I said, we'll have to pay an additional 62 or 67.
You got an impact.
I've got an impact fee.
Motion to approve.
Second. Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Osteen. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. All right. So, Mr. Bailey, we'll be able to do that. I appreciate that, gentlemen. That time frame is getting really tight on us, and we don't want to be caught with our pants down there.
Never.
You have in front of you a beautiful little showing of our current hurricane and one projected to come behind it. That hurricane is not projected to hit us or bother us. It is going in and the fact that it stirred up cooler waters out there and the other one tracking behind it, they've already started downgrading the percentage of chance that it's going to develop. So we're thinking that it will hold and not do a whole lot. If it does, it is also projected to follow the same course. So we already have had, three storms? Well, two storms.
Chris, this would be four.
Okay, this would be four if it may. So they're projecting up to 25 this year, busy season. So we'll be updating you every week. About now everything is holding good there. Chief Garner and our staff involved is still moving forward with recovery monies from last year's storms. Some of those things are starting to look a little more positive for us. We still don't have any definitive timelines for you, but just to understand that we're moving. I emails this morning. Some of them they're moving on. So as we get those updates that are definite, we'll bring them to you. I don't think I have anything else. Does the board have anything with me before I bring the Department of Health up?
No, sir.
Ms. Natalie, if you want to come up. Ms. Natalie is over Dixie Lee and Gilchrist from the Department of Health. I'm going to give her the mic and let her give y'all a quick presentation. Y'all know that I have been working to try to improve the health care here, my staff, not just myself. But I think that some of what she's going to tell you is going to be probably good news. So, Ms. Natalie. Yeah.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Kellips. I'm the administrator for the health department here in Dixie County. And I'm here with our director of nursing, Liz Powers, and Cheryl Turner, our clinical supervisor here in Dixie County. And we came to talk to you about primary care. We believe that we can help you fulfill a need for some additional primary care here in South City in Dixie County. What we would like to do is we have some grant funding identified. We'd like to bring on an OPS physician for 3 days a week who can provide primary care. We also have our APRN 1 day a week. That's Marinda Norton, who I know many of you know. We've been working hand-in-hand with emergency management and his community paramedic. And we'd really like to develop a program and a partnership with them so that we can help our residents stabilize their health and hopefully reduce the number of trips to the emergency room, because I know that's a long, long drive. So we are in the process of developing the position description and getting the HR pieces in order, but we'll be advertising very soon. And I'm hoping the chief will help me find one. But that's our big news. Liz and Cheryl are going to tell you some other things we're doing. But in addition, we have a new dentist on board who will be doing dentistry for children 2 days a week. And she has just started and up and running. And we're also in the process of getting a fixed schedule for our mobile clinic so that we can take it to specific spots in the county on a regular basis each month. And I'm going to let Liz and Cheryl.
Y'all have the availability to do x-rays and stuff like that? Or?
X-rays, we will. We don't right now, but we do bring a physician on board. That would be part of it.
I think that's going to be one of the things that we really need to have, because that's going to stop a lot of stuff going to Gainesville, be able to do the x-rays. So that's.
When you said primary care, can you come in? Just give a brief description of what that covers.
Elaborate. Well, sick calls, things that take people to the ER if they don't get treated, you know, UTIs, strep throat, minor injuries.
Sprains, twisted ankles.
Be a doctor on staff 3 days a week, plus they'll have their other.
Is that through the LIP grant?
Not LIP, our CDC infrastructure grant, which is for people to expand our public health workforce. And we have it for 2 years, so they are, while we did have to go to Tallahassee to ask permission to establish a primary care program, they're very supportive. They said if it fulfills the need and
only question I got, and it's really for Darren, I know that we had some different ones working on getting like a little ER type thing over here. Is that going to hinder that coming about, or is it going to help it, or what is your thoughts on that?
Mr. Joe, any medical care we can get in this county is an improvement.
Right.
You know, there's different agencies, different primary care agencies, different hospital entities that have all talked and looked at. Many of them have denied us. Some of them are still looking.
There was a gentleman that was in the room a couple of meetings ago that was said that he could get that to happen, and y'all were going to get together. I can't think of his name. I understand, but sometimes if you got something in the works and you do something else, then it calls back to fall to the wayside.
Wait on that, you're going to be shooting yourself in the foot. We need primary care. We have a shortage of care.
That's after I need you right there to run.
We only have three facilities in this community that provide medical care in the nature of what Ms. Natalie's talking about. And one of them, I understand, through Shands in Old Town, is not accepting new patients. So that only leaves two in town. And one of them, last time I checked, did not have a doctor on staff. They did have nurse practitioners. So we need something to help the citizens here without having to go to Gainesville. It reduces my call load. It reduces my transports to Gainesville because we do carry strep throat. We do carry sore feet. We do carry broken fingers that need an x-ray. And if they can take care of all that at our health department, that saves us. We got into this situation years ago whenever the state changed the way they do business. For whatever reasons, and they pulled those nurses and doctors out of the health department statewide, not just Dixie.
Right.
And this is that first step to start getting some of that back, and I think once it's in place, between what myself and Ms. Natalie and her staff have talked about, I think we can progress this even better to hopefully get us back to where we were with a primary care doctor, a dentist. There's already pediatric care out there, not through the Department of Health, but we can work in conjunction with them. There's some other things that they're looking at that she hasn't told you, and I'm not going to tell you. So there are
what do y'all need from us to help y'all facilitate this and to get it right?
Well, you know, you can have the facility and the funds to fund the program, finding the people. That's the hard part. Recruiting will be our...
I need doctors.
Right.
What did you say, dog? You need doctors? How about the end?
I think honestly, it's great to see our health department being utilized again. Because we often remember whenever Cheryl and them used to be out there.
I know, we hear great stories.
Yes,
of people.
I mean, it was a wonderful facility, and I'm proud to see that the steps that they made to put it back. And I'm proud of that.
Thank you. We hope to make you proud and hope to expand it. We do have to find a way to sustain the program, but I think with contracts with private insurance companies, we'll be able to do it. We've done it before without the assistance of a grant, and we'll get back there.
Well, thank you. And I had a conversation about the dentist about a year ago.
Right here. It's a long time to get her on board.
And, I was a little rough on you. I apologize. Mm-hmm. But
that's okay. We're
moving appreciate
forward.
The hard work, you and Darren's staff. But.
So I have Liz and Cheryl here. And they'd just like to tell you a few other things that we've been doing all along and we'll continue to do for the community. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Liz Towers for any of you that I don't know yet. I'm the nursing director for three counties. But my heart is so much here, and I lived through that where we changed from primary care, and it was rough. It was really awful. So I don't want to ever do that again, but we are the agency, too, that cares about this community. You know, like, it matters to us. We're not just some private person who's trying to see where they can make some money. So we're so super excited about getting primary care back, and we are there. We do have nurses there. We still do our core public health services, which we will always have to do. And so I was going to tell you about a couple of those. There's some, especially like infectious disease, and I'm not going to take too much time. There's 90 at least or more of those, so I'm not going to go through them, I promise. But I do have a list I can give you. So I just want to tell you what's going on in Dixie, too, because if we're doing our job in public health and infectious disease, you don't know it. Because there's not big outbreaks going on. There's not big, a lot of people getting sick. So, and we do that intensely every day. The most common ones in Levy are animal bites and rabies exposure. Since January, we've had 18 people that we had to give rabies vaccine series to and take care of all that. Hepatitis C, GI illness, salmonella,
I can relate to that. I recently got bit by a dog and was in the hospital. And I got, they had IVs in both arms, and I had 7 effects of these doctors working on me to try to figure out what antibiotic would.
What bacteria was happening.
What bacteria I had.
A lot of stuff in their mouth. And we live here because we love to be outside. So when you think about all the things you come in contact with in the woods, tetanus, rabies. Brucellosis is a big thing. If anybody's a hog hunter and ever wants to know about it, I'd be glad to talk to you. We've had a couple people test positive, and it's something that has really weird symptoms. So, and Vibrio, for those of us that like to be on the water, which is probably most of us, you know, that's there naturally. We can't stop it, but we can educate people on how not to get infected. So we're always doing that in the background every day. We never stop doing our core public health. Cheryl's going to tell you about some of the other, like, more clinical things that we have continued to do. But we want to get back helping people. We don't try not to turn people away for anything when they come in, try to get them help or get them to help. But it's going to be so much nicer when we can do it ourselves back here.
Yes.
We still have, like, a lot of the infrastructure, but we'll have to get some of the equipment back, like x-ray. And if an urgent care came in, they'll be there on Saturday and Sunday. They'll be there at night. They'll be, you know, I think that we can all work together. We can't have enough care. We're going to work with Allison and the community paramedic program so that she has to a physician that can help fill for those services, and we can help her back and forth to see those folks that come out of the hospital and they get home, but this was the medicines that they don't even have. And when they're out of those, they're back calling ambulance again. And it's just a, you know, round robin, and she's made such a huge difference in their lives. If we have more of that, you know, it's gonna make a great impact on the community. I think so. So we appreciate support, you know, and just getting the word out of what we're doing. I'm gonna leave this list here, and Cheryl's got a good flyer about what we are still doing. That if you can get that out, that we're not closed, that we are still doing things. So. We appreciate it.
Can we do one thing for you? Maybe bring some oil out there and oil them doors to where they can finally quit quick.
Do it. Yeah,
that,
you do whatever you can do.
That's the goal. Get people in and out of there.
We do. We just moved the wick inside, so that brings people back in, so they know that it's open, which leads to running to guests, which leads to needing to be there, but things like that leads to sending the kids to the dentist. So we're trying to just get all those pieces.
Thank you. Yes, yes. Thank you for your time. Okay. So I am Cheryl Turner. All your faces are familiar, it's nice of them, but you just may not know what I do. You're like, hey, I know who she is, but what is it that she does? So we're going to just talk to you a little bit about that today. Just briefly. I'm not going to take up too much of your time. So as Mark said, way back in the day when we were in the glory days of primary care and we were seeing patients and, you know, they were coming in out of the door and it was standing room only in our building. All of that changed, and it changed immediately. It wasn't our decision to pull out of that. And it left many of us, and we lost lots of staff at that time. And then we also lost a lot of our connection to our community through our patients and taking care of those patients. We've always provided core public health to our patients. We even, and I have to be honest, didn't know what that meant. So what is core public health? What does that mean? How is that valuable to our community and to our people here? Liz just spoke about a lot of the things that we do on the backside of it, you know, monitoring for communicable diseases and things like that to make sure that we're not getting those outbreaks. Those are important. When those labs come through, they come to our dashboard on our desk, and we're doing a case investigation on those. We're following it in the background, making sure that there's not something connected in the community that does that. So what I passed out to our board members here and others is basically what our key role is right now. So what were we left with when that primary care piece pulled out? Then what were we left with? So also poor public health, which also had to be defined to me, too, by the way. As a nurse working in primary care at the health department, I didn't understand either. So family planning plays a key role in what we do. So what that is basically is the prevention of pregnancy, and that also includes our team. Okay? So Dixie County Health Department offers all types of birth control. We offer pills, we offer a shot, we offer an implant, we offer IUDs, as well as male and female sterilizations. The sterilizations are free and available to uninsured and underinsured in our community. So underinsured, that definition is you have insurance, but maybe that deductible is way too high that you can't meet it or reach it. So, you know, there's possibilities we can help you there. So while a lot of these methods are available at some of the other primary care facilities in the area, to my knowledge, our provider, Miranda Norton Rains, as most of you may know her, is the only provider in the community who does, who places IUD, okay? So IUD, how that is important, why that's important, is because those long-acting reversible contraceptive devices that we have are placed in the procedure, and then they're good for 10 years. There's nothing for that person to think about. Many times our failure rates and what causes our pregnancy rates to go up is because of non-compliance. They're not taking that pill. They're not doing that shot, you know. So, or there's barriers. Maybe they can't get transportation back to the facility to get that shot. So we know that what works in the long term are these long-acting reversible contraceptives. Okay? So what I want you to look at is that thing that I passed out, and if you'll notice, in the area where it says percent of female PhD family planning clients, which is on the end there. The target goal for 15 and 44-year-olds is 2%. So if you'll look, these targets are for Dixie County exceeded that goal at 24.3% in January from 2024 to May 6th of 24, and was at 30.4% last year, January to December of 2023. And I'm just going to remind you, the target goal was 2%. Also are listed the other counties, local CHDs in the region, and it shows you their percentages. So you'll see that Dixie County is exceeds those goals. Okay. So in addition to family planning information, our clients, when they come in, they also receive education and services to help reduce the incidence and the impact of sexually transmitted disease through screening and treatment. That's a big part of what we do. As they mentioned, Miranda's in clinic on Fridays. I'm a registered nurse who's also credentialed, recently been credentialed with the University of Alabama in Birmingham. So I could add in additional protocols that I can work under to help start a patient if they needed to start on pills and Miranda's not there that day, I can take care of that. If there are other things that need to be dealt with, I can take care of those too as a registered nurse working under protocol. So an extent with Miranda being there on Fridays only, there are still certain protocols that I've worked under that I can take care of that. Some things, not all, but some. So let's see. So I also just kind of want to add in, you know, when a patient comes to us, what we typically catch are patients without insurance, okay? And we know that for that patient, say if they come in during the week and they're having an issue, they can't just go to an urgent care because they don't have insurance. That's not necessarily a possibility for them to do. But when our patients come in and they're underinsured or uninsured, they leave with their labs, they leave with their medications, they leave with their assessments, their diagnosis many times, and if they qualify for zero fee scale, they don't pay anything. So our zero scale patients do not pay, all right? And they receive all of that there, labs, medication, and doctor's visits for no cost. We also do pregnancy testing and counseling, and during this visit, we link the mother with services such as WIC, which now, you know, is right in our building in our hallway on Wednesdays. We're able to do that or either do it through the phone, get them an appointment. We provide the prenatal vitamins. We schedule the appointment if we need to, okay? We make sure that that expectant mother has what she needs before she leaves our office. And we also are able to connect them to our high-risk pregnant mothers. We're able to connect them to immediately to services such as like Healthy Family, Healthy Start, Nurse Family Partnership. All of those are important programs for our pregnant women. Dixie County Health Department also tests and treats clients for HIV and tuberculosis. And as Liz said many times, what is going on in our communities is not seen. So you don't always know how that's important, how that plays a factor, okay? So January from 2024 to today, in-house in our health department, through the patients that have come in to be tested, we have diagnosed four new HIV clients, okay? So in that, we're able to immediately get them referred into care, provide that education and that counseling and support that's needed, and then also get them put on medication, because if they can get put on that medication right away, then that viral load is suppressed. The quicker that viral load gets suppressed, then they're not able to then transmit that throughout our community, okay? Tuberculosis. It's probably not one that you think is on the rise. It's not that common, but we do have it here in Dixie County. We have had. In 2023, we had no cases, but in 2017 to 2019, we did have two active cases. Many times what that involves is that we are monitoring those patients. Many times there is a home quarantine that we are kind of monitoring that person, making sure that they're not out in the community. Until they are able to do so and they're not no longer infectious to others. So I also passed around the brochure of what we do, what can Florida Health do to help you. I could go on and on and on and on, but mainly it's a holiday and you're, yeah, you guys don't want to hear that. But, you know, basically what I want to let you guys know is that we are out there. We're not closed. I'm excited for the things to come. I share Mark's, you know, passion for what we used to have. And I'm, you know, thinking, I know with the leadership, what we have now, it's coming back. We're going to get it back. And I appreciate your support. And if anyone in the room or outside of the room, anywhere, has ever just wants to come out to the health department, you know, visit, sit down with us, see what we do, see what our numbers are, what are we looking at, you are invited. The door's open. Without Mark Cole. We'll creak it open if we need to.
I would like to say that this has been a long, long journey, and I'm so proud and happy to see the turning of it. And there's been a lot of people pushing behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and thank y'all for what y'all are doing there. Thank you and your staff. It's a much-needed asset for our county, and it's going to greatly increase our medical care for our citizens. And I appreciate all the hard work across the board. Thank y'all.
Yes.
Thank you.
The doors up front don't work. I'll bring them in the back where y'all do the permits. Well, y'all have degrees them too, because they swinging too.
Two more things, gentlemen, I thought about while she was speaking. One, with the joint MOU that we have with the Department of Health, with Ms. Allison, we're going to be sending her out on a monthly basis, and they're going to be taking their mobile clinic, mobile dental units, different things out to areas. We've identified some, like the parking lot out front, whenever United Christian Services is open and passing out things, community center in the first district, different places where there's food distributions, a lot of people, they're going to be out there on those days, and they will be able to, one, identify that they are up and running, And secondly, refer people not only to the Department of Health, but anywhere else. So we have three other primary care providers, and Ms. Allison already does that with all of them. So that will be occurring in the very near future. I think we're scheduled to start this month.
August.
So very shortly, you'll be seeing that and hearing that. The other thing that I had that I thought about, we mentioned to y'all about a year and a half ago about our wait times at hospitals. Sometimes they hold our trucks on the wall. We can't abandon our patients. And if the nurse doesn't claim it or the doctor doesn't claim that patient, I have had some that have held there as long as 5 hours waiting to be with our patient. Mm-hmm. That kills us, ladies and gentlemen. We have three trucks, and we run 4,500 calls a year. Oshawa County, for the past few years, I don't know just how long, has been billing the hospital after a certain amount of time if they keep their trucks there. Well, guess what happens whenever our truck is there waiting to get rid of a patient and Oshawa County comes in?
Oh, yeah.
Oshawa County gets their patient taken and our crew stands there. Some of the other agencies around have started billing the hospitals as well. While I was gone last week, I instructed Chief Ferguson to move forward with that. I'm not sure that it's totally in place yet, but we are going to start that process and start billing those agencies for holding our patients, because technically, by law, once our truck arrives on the hospital property, that patient is their patient.
Yes. Yeah.
But our medics are not going to abandon that patient, set them in the floor. Some agencies actually carry cots and have cots stored there and put the patient on and leave them. You can't do that. We can't do that. We're not going to do that.
Right.
But we are going to bill these agencies, unless the board tells me otherwise. And it probably will be a substantial amount of money, but the intent is not to collect money. The intent is to get our patients off of our beds and get them taken care of and provided care so that our trucks can get back in service and they can be well. So unless the board tells me otherwise, we're going to continue moving forward with that program.
Keep moving forward.
Please do.
Thank you, sir. Gentlemen, that is all I have, unless you have anything of me.
No, sir.
All right. My staff, most of them, we're going to leave. We do have some training. We've had some folks drive in from Tallahassee for some training today. So we're going to be at the office if something comes up, and I appreciate all your support and all your help today.
Thank y'all.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate y'all.
Yes.
West to keep them straight over.
Anti-drugs. Anybody here from anti-drugs? All right. We skipped the vouchers. All right. I need approval of the vouchers.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatt. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor. All right. Mr. Steve.
Morning, board.
Morning.
Unfortunately, after my report, I'm going to step out and control read.
Got lots to do.
Currently, we're back up to 931 accounts. That's a plus 5 since last meeting. So a lot of people are doing the rebuilding. We had an emergency meeting this past Monday. A lot of information was given out to the public about the ground and pump insulation. We had, at the end, we had public comments, went both ways. Some people praised us, some people didn't. All in all, it was a good informational meeting. I have to correct my last manager's report. I believe I said the audit was 23-24. It was actually 22-23, and I should have stated that it was 22-23, and for the last 10 years, the first time in the last 10 years, we received a clean audit with no corrective action. Good thing, FEMA, we finally got our first check for reimbursement. We got that last Tuesday. It is now in the bank. Also, the grinder pumps, we are in the final stage of replacements, and we probably have approximately 120 left. That's all I got, unless you have questions.
Thank you, Mr. Steve.
Monday night was a very transparent meeting. I appreciate y'all holding that. Yes, there was pros and cons on both sides, as always, but board done a very good job of holding their head up, answering the best of the questions to the best of their ability.
And
I appreciate the board doing that. But I appreciate y'all holding it.
Thank you.
I know that you said that y'all had issues on the getting those water tight and all that stuff. How are y'all coming with that?
We're doing much better. Some of them, the seal wasn't exactly right, so we went there and with direction for E1. We resealed them and actually put a bead of caulking also on it so it would seal better. And then the wager vents are replacing what we call candy canes, and they have a ball. When water hits it, goes up, seals the system. Mm-hmm. So the top portion of the canister, which has the electric in it, is now sealed off. It'll be much better.
Good deal. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Steve.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Gregg.
Good morning. We'd like to back up to the EOC just to get an official motion to award the contract to Gray Construction. That was a low bidder at that amount, and then we'll prepare that because we're probably going to send that document, that motion, to the grant agency.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Don't have a whole lot. CDBG project here in town is Tallahassee. In their review, so as soon as they get their review back to it, we should be able to put the advertise that here.
Good deal.
So,
good deal.
I'm working on for that. And the only other item I have is Health Care Road is out for bid right now. Bid opening is July
16th.
Okay.
Yes, good. Thank you.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work. Yeah.
Chairman, so I don't forget it, we also have Northeast 592nd Chapas Road advertised in conjunction with that at the same time. So hopefully we'll get a response to this.
Good deal. Mr. John?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. Just a quick update on the three projects that we're doing under the HCP program. Chief and I talked about before, but that would be the town of Swanee dredging, town of Horseshoe dredging, and Shire Island Beach renourishment. So we had our sub-consultant, coastal sub-consultant out last week. Went to all three sites, took a couple days. We got samples that we needed from the channels. We got samples from the spoil sites. We got to show that we can, it meets the criteria to come back and use for the beach. That all went very well. Off to the lab now to do all the testing that's got to be done. Big thanks to Hutch for showing us around and making sure we got what we needed. And the mayor of Horseshoe also went around with us when we were at Horseshoe, and they were very nice and helpful to us. And so that's where we are on that. I'll keep y'all posted. Once we get that data back, we'll start preparing those applications. The only other thing I have is, Mr. Chair, you mentioned to me last week, I believe, about some grant opportunities for the baseball park, sports park.
Yes.
Got my folks laying out some conceptual designs, which I'll bring to y'all to share.
Okay.
You can use those, then we'll make some cost estimates that'll help you with the grant process.
Okay, good deal.
That's in works.
Good. Yeah.
That's it, unless you have something for me.
Thank you very much. Because Cindy's not here.
John, I do. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Try to let that slip by, but I just don't want no confusion about the dredging this morning. That is inner canals.
Correct.
It's not our baby McGriff Path.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure that that's out there. It is not the McGriff Path. That's a completely different project.
Yes, sir.
That one we're working on.
We are. County is, but yeah, but this is not that.
It's inner canals.
Yes, sir.
But did you have something there?
Yeah. That's just the Salt Creek side. What they showed me, it ain't the canals on the river side. That's just on the Salt Creek side.
Correct.
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right.
That's it.
Cindy's not here. Mr. Steve Freeman, he's not here. Hutch, you got anything?
I ain't got nothing unless y'all got something.
No? Thank you.
I do.
You do? All right.
Yeah. I've been calling on Hutch a bunch the last few weeks. The 4th of July is coming up, trying to make Swanee look pretty, and I just want to publicly thank him for what he's done. Not just Swanee, but throughout the county.
Yep, exactly.
And the staff, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It
does look good. I will vouch for that.
Thank you.
Don't run off. We recently went out to Garntoe, and we wound up with... Me and Steve first went there, we thought we were going to get 12 sites, scappers, but after doing some measuring and checking, we wound up with 14 sites, I believe. And those are going to be numbered, and they're going to be set up where they can be pre-rented, so people having trying to get their vacation set up and have a place to go, we're going to have that available. And appreciate that, getting that to happen.
The one thing I have to add to that is be sure on our septic system, Iron Jody, you're the septic man. I know you are.
There is no hookups over there for them campers.
So that's where we did through DEP, and there's a grant funded stuff out that way. That'll be, watch that with that, because we run into that with Horseshoe when we first started. I think Horseshoe was 18 to 20 slots. We're down to, what, 8 or 10 per?
We've been having tons of campers under the issue. We've been having some of them to find first ways and block where you can put.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Just
a nightmare. And also, Tim, if you will, the dump out the first district of Rock Pit, somebody asked about putting a privacy fence. I got thinking about all that dirt I got with Stevie. Couldn't seem to get no money to put a fence up around it, and we ain't got none, but we got plenty of dirt there. And y'all get together enough to build a berm, then they going to have to tow that up a hill and back down a hill. And also that gentleman that I talked to you about maybe getting a no trespass on him, the one that we cleaning up that yard that was in where he don't tore it all back down and we have to clean it up again.
50 tons, we took out just the front yard.
Yeah. He's only got that much backyard still.
Yeah.
But
50 tons, we took out of there.
But I know y'all working on that. And on them signs, we can get caught whoever's taking them off of 351 and find out where they're going. We could probably get about $20,000 worth of signs back if we can find them.
Cameron, we're going to address that next week.
I appreciate you.
The reservations ain't we got to put on that because it's in them rules.
What on the dirt?
First come, first serve.
Yeah.
Well, we going with?
I mean.
Well, I'll make a motion that we on the first district part, we go to where they can pre-schedule the slots. Because the first come, first serve, it's hard for anybody trying to plan a vacation. You can't plan nothing if you don't, if first come, first serve, you don't know if you can get a spot down there or not.
I understand that. But I've got him ruled. I've got.
But whatever we need to do, Shana, to get that.
All right. It's not in an ordinance.
I've got a copy of the ordinance, and it doesn't specify in there that camping has to be first come, first serve. I don't know if that's something that the board just agreed upon doing in the past, but the copy of the ordinance that I have actually does not address that specific.
The rules that I got says that it's the first come first serve basis, no reservations in my one vacation.
Well, if you've got something different than I have, sir, I'd like to see that.
Okay.
If we do go ask Stevie, because I found some documents that nobody seen those, but I found them anyway. But if it does, then I'll address.
Maybe a county, old county handbook or something.
Yeah.
And you've got
it's different. It's different for the parks than it is for paid employees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll look into that. Me and Ms. Chana get together and figure out what would be the best approach to look at any changes that the board has to make.
John, do you have something to say?
Chair, back on the North Coast septic issue, DEP just extended the spring grant deadline for 17 to this month. Y'all interested, we can put in an application for whether it's even the planning or something in there to see if we can, get our hat in the ring on that.
Yeah.
Sure, me too.
On the dredging, so the freshwater side in 20 is not even being considered.
We were told that there was no need to those channels over there on that side to find that there was no issues over there.
Then come to my house. We're in the cul-de-sac.
Mr. Hutch, I'm going to say thank you,
Scott,
again, because I know you got 20 looking good, you got Horseshoe, because I was working down Horseshoe yesterday. They cleaned it up, Gina up, you even out there where I'm at, where Jody's at.
353 looks
real good. All around where I've been is looking real good. I just want to thank you and all your guys.
Thank you. Scott.
And the ditch done it.
Go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
Scott, can you look at that, what she's talking about, and if there's anything left that might be able to add any of that? Because you did say one time that y'all could add a few projects. Just take a look at it and
we
see.
We can look into it. But the funding that we're talking about with the dredging is that's the MAP funding that
right.
we've already been paid for. So that is, there's no extra funding there right now. But we can look into other funding down that side of it.
Okay.
But we had a contractor go through and that's where.
Give you the cost estimates.
Give us the cost estimate and what canals needed to be dredged through the previous county manager. And that's where those come from.
Right.
The county itself did not go out and say this canal and that canal.
Right.
Once we got from that contractor and that resident down there, that's when we submitted everything.
Right. Just look at the other side also.
I will. But I just wanted you to know that myself, Mr. Paul, and the folks that are here now, and Mr. Cannon at the time, we did not go down and say, this one and this one get done, this one don't. It was a resident and a contractor that was down there that did that.
Okay.
And McGriff Pass and all that's in the project.
No,
it's not.
That is another.
Well, we can dredge all that inland. They just be able to drive around inside. They ain't going to be able to go nowhere.
You figure out a way that we don't know on McGriff, please let us know.
Well,
so we went from Congress to I don't know where in the hell we've been. We've been everywhere looking for funding on that. A lot of people's looked at it. If you got another avenue, please let us know. We want to float down McGriff fast without getting hung up.
Need to carry a bunch of them out there fishing and then try to come
we've
in.
We've actually done them. That.
Yeah.
We've actually carried a congressman out there and hung him up. And let sand that eat on him. We've done that. We did. Mm-hmm. We did that. Neil Dunn.
Mr. Tim?
Tim, my department, I need to know what direction we're going, when are they going to stop, when are they going to end, because we're almost a year out post-storm. I need to know some kind of direction of what to do.
Tim, honestly, I thought me and Paul talked about this yesterday and about demo permits, and I'm thinking a year, if they ain't done it in a year's time, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, if you go there and you pull a demo permit, just because you go pull a demo permit and you're inland, you was not affected by the storm, we're still saying, hey, I got a demo permit, and that's not right. So the demo permit, waiving the fees on the demo permits was a storm-related thing to not throw any more burden on the citizens.
Right.
That's why we done that. But I think, honestly, we need to look at a sunset date on that. We need to look at it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if it gets to that point to where, I say from this point forward, wherever, Leon, how's your demo permit? So they start, are people actually pulling them now?
So you still have multiple houses that were declared substantially damaged, and they're trying to see if they can get grant funding to elevate those structures. They can't stay the way they are, so they're kind of in the limbo. If they don't get funding to elevate the structure, they will have to take it down and move it.
Okay, great, because if you got a house, Daniel Wood's house, and I'm using Daniel as an example because I know he ain't got one down there.
But
if it's Daniel Wood's house and it is damaged by a storm, we could actually use that name with that demo permit, and then Tim has something to say, no, Jamie's house is not included on this.
Yeah, no, we have a list of identified.
You have a list.
So that's honestly what we should start looking at, really and truly. You get his list, and then we can start narrowing that mess down a little bit more. But
we could help right there when we issue that demo permit. We could stamp it if it's a substantially damaged project.
Yeah.
So I had a guy come in the other day. Well, it's been a couple of weeks ago. He had a demo permit, but he couldn't really identify where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you get that, and I mean, you know, when they got a demo permit, you don't want to, I mean, you know, you want to do the right thing.
Right.
But I also don't want to see the county foot the bill for something that they don't need to be.
Well, we don't want to take advantage of the situation. Honestly, it was put in place for the best intentions. And most of the time, the road to hell's paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I think with you and Leon, y'all could work that out a lot better. You agree to help him, Leon, with that?
Absolutely.
Don't
got anything else for me?
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Mr. Tim. You.
Appreciate it.
Your truck still doing all right up there in Greenville?
Yeah.
After
yeah. Yeah.
Hey, before Tim walks off and Leon, while Leon's up there, this I want to say something else too. And actually, I want to make a motion that without the approval through building and zoning, the demo permits is just demo permits. If it's not run through the proper channels, they pay.
Yeah.
And I'll make a motion to do that.
Second.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
And a second, Mr. Wood.
Clarification
on that.
Well, what you want to know?
Discussion. I'll clarification on exactly what that's going to pertain to.
The hurricane.
The hurricane. If it ain't a hurricane, then they're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
What about fires or a burnout or something
like
that?
Well, then that's a by-case thing.
That's case by case.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
Because we're not waiving, they're not pulling the demo permit for a fire.
So previously at a previous board meeting, we had talked about writing that into the policy for fires because it's always been historically that those fees were waived.
That's in your new LDRs. That's
correct.
Not completed yet. So we'll revisit that whenever that comes about.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor.
Okay, I got a couple of informational items for you. I don't know if any of you are aware, there's a House Bill 1049 that got passed. It's and we've seen it happen in Horseshoe and Suwannee, this last hurricane event, where people were trying to apply for assistance, and they were getting turned down because assistance had already previously been applied for at that location. So with this bill, it's forcing the flood disclosure. You know, right now, if you buy a piece of real estate, you already are told if it's in a flood zone, but you're never given any history on it. And now it's disclosed that the seller has or has not filed a claim with the insurance provider relating to flood damage. And if the seller has or has not received any federal assistance for flood damage on that property, to include, not limited to, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. They're only going to pay out so many times on that piece of property before they're not going to touch it. And you've seen that happen several times in our coastal communities, and you're now seeing a reactionary to this. So if you start hearing anything about that, that's what that is, which I think is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You go to buy a vehicle, you look for a Carfax, you go buy a house, you want to know the history on it. I think that's a really good thing. I did attend that Suwannee Water Board meeting in Suwannee. That was a very unique meeting, to put it so that everybody here understands. The building department has zero involvement with that. They're a utility company, and they operate underneath the umbrella of some exemptions that are allowed. I think this was a learning curve for them. The LDRs, we spoke about that. We were in the process of the code enforcement procedure part of the LDRs to finalize those up. The lawyer that had come to give us some training could not continue with the training. She was working on her campaign, and her co-counsel was not interested in doing that training with us. Instead of reinventing the wheel, it was suggested that we go to Alachua County and meet with their attorney over there, Ms. Diane Johnson. Ms. Chain has been in contact with her, and we set up a date and schedule time for that review of it. Preliminary investigation identified just what we were already talking about, that there was issues there, and I think it was a good catch before we adopted something and then had to come back and change it, or it would have led to another potential loss.
and that's not what we want to do. The other item that I have for you is, in the previous board meetings, we've talked about the additional code that were put into the building code for flood-related items that are what I consider CRS standards, higher standards that were written into the code. We have a phone conference on the 10th at 10:30 with the state and the building commission. This is our second phone call with the building commission. It seems like we have at least one of the commissioners who now start to understand and agree potentially with us. There is a bridge committee that could go in there and line strike that out. That's what we're looking for. But I really agree that it is a far-reach effort for an agenda item that doesn't belong in that sort of code. It might have a place, but it's not there. That was for your information. The last item that I have for you is I passed out a graph. And when I sat down to review this year, I brought the basically the need to look at adding another staff member to our staff. And we can see this graph with a steady increase. Several laws were passed this past year to expedite permits and keep them on track. And I think we'd be foolish not to realize that we're going to continue to see an increase, and I want to make sure that we continue to give good customer service. But I was told that I need approval from the board to even add that potential member to the plan.
I'm going to say this. Our people are customers, which is actually our boss. I've talked to Leon normally, and I hate to say it this way, whenever I have a question, normally around 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and 95% of that, he's at the building department. I'm not just throwing it out, it's happened once or twice. This happens all the time. And I asked what he did. Well, I'm reviewing plans. It's his quiet time where he can get stuff done. But also, 8 o'clock the next morning, he's back at work. So I'm in full support of adding someone there. The permit stuff pays for it. It's a much-needed position. We are growing. We're going to continue to grow.
Yep.
So I'm full support of it. If you want me to make a motion, I'll more than gladly make a motion to do that. And that's my motion.
We got a motion.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. Discussion. All in favor?
So that everybody else here understands the concept, when I first took the position in 2018, we processed 620 permits. Mm-hmm. We closed out the 2023 year with 2,288. So the graph is a steady increase up. And when we start to look around at the other counties and we start to paper, we realize these large tracts of land have been set aside and they're planned for development and residential homes. It's naive to think that that's not going to spill over and continue here.
Yeah.
What I don't want to do is when we start to look at, applications per person, in 18 and 19 and 20, you were doing about 200 per person. And then in 23, we was at 572 a person. And that's not counting the people that come in or the volume of applications that aren't, complete. And but at the end of the day, yes, there's a lot of times I am there late at night. And sometimes it's easier to get more done in 3 hours in the evening time than it is 8 hours during the day with the phone and people coming in. But if somebody does come in, they have questions, I feel obligated to try and help them, but they are there. That's just who I am. But thank you for your support.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Leon, can we make that effective October 1 when you budget yourself?
That was the plan. Okay. It was when we sat down planning for the next year.
You look at that for an October 1 starting date, I think.
No, we'll advertise for a full-time position.
Yes. Now, don't get me wrong, we've been down this road before. Finding help in the building department is tough. And every now and then, you find good people like we did with Mr. David.
He has been a true blessing to have. It's working very, very, very well. And if we look back from 2018 to where we are now, I would say that the department here has been successful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say, too.
I don't think that the other contractor that was just here would even agree that several of the counties
he's still here.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah. And so
I got a couple questions.
My office, they talk about how good y'all are doing, how polite and helpful y'all are, too. So it's going good all the way.
I'm getting them other phone calls. You can't get a hold of him. And I said, don't fill out Lone Ranger. I'll talk to him until 30, 11 o'clock. No. But I just want clarity on something other that Tim. Don't let Tim leave. Tell him to come back. Okay. So I'll talk about my other thing. LDRs. You said y'all do have an attorney now. Tana, is that correct?
We do. I've been in communication with her, done some networking at the meeting we went to, and she sent us this morning.
Do we have any timeline of when this is going to start, when we can get this thing rolling and get our...
At the very minimum, we have to run the advertisement and bring it back before the board. So we are talking about...
So I can answer
probably that. September.
I took and reviewed a bunch of the items that was sent over to us for review. Those would be some text amendment changes that we have to write into this. We need to bring that in, but it's going to require at least two times. One for us to sit down, review it, make sure that it aligns. They operate the same way that we're wanting to operate, and the good part is it's narrowed down to just the enforcement part of the LDR. And I think it could be a smooth transition. It's just,
what's the estimated cost?
There's,
don't let Tim lose. Just didn't come out.
It's significantly less than losing my case. I can tell you that much.
That is still something I did ask her because she is, what I'm talking with is assistant attorney to Alachua County. Most counties have chief attorney and then have numerous assistants. She's an assistant. So she is trying to work all of that out through her chain of command to see, but she is willing to work with us either way. And she said, you know, she didn't anticipate much cost at all. Now, that being said, we don't know until we can get it finalized.
We didn't pass. We went to the Economic Council to get that.
Which can't.
For Florida.
Sir?
In the past, on getting those subdivisions and different things, so the LDRs didn't go through that other council that we're dealing with now, or am I on a different agenda?
Remember the ones we got rid of?
The one we fired.
North Florida, yes. Whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. The cost factor for them was
13.5
years. Yeah, a year. And what is the projected? You think of this?
This one, like I say, what we're asking her to do is help us, you know, get the technique implemented. I don't anticipate it's going to be that.
So I can.
Well,
I guess my main concern, we're still getting beat up about that we're going to pass something that the citizens are going to have to pay an outlandish permit fee to get stuff done.
No, that's completely different.
Yeah. This is totally different. This is.
Yeah. No, go ahead and finish this up.
So what this is in our current LDRs right now, if you look it up, it'll tell you that a second-degree misdemeanor is the offense for committing a land development code violation. Code enforcement is a separate offense, and it's processed differently. Whereas with the misdemeanors, you must write a ticket and it may appear. Those are processed differently because you're now dealing with liberties versus fines and penalties. There are reasons to have both. Prime example being homestead properties and items, you know, that we've discussed in previous other meetings right here. Here's the problem, and here's why I was so angry with the planning council, is we had multiple cases that we were fighting with.
And they didn't show up.
They didn't come, and then
And when they did come, they told us that the judge's opinion didn't matter. He stood right here at this pulpit and said that. I'd said for 3 years to fire them. And we were in the same situation that multiple other little counties were in with them. And they give the book out. They say it's good. Offer very little support. And that's just the way I felt about it. That's my opinion, but I can also back it up with documentation, too. I know that's a brutal analogy, but at the end of the day, we paid out attorney fees for $20,000 on one case, and we paid out an appellate court lawyer on another case. We had $50,000 tied up in cases that we didn't technically win. And so we still have the $13,500 that we didn't pay them this year, and if we have to use part of that to help pay for the to get this set up, we have 185 cases pending that's on hold right now, plus Steve has a backlog that we have to go back and redo.
That's two different apples. That's apples and oranges, honestly. But LDRs, where are we at of getting the LDRs?
The LDRs are ready. When you're saying LDRs, but code enforcement is part of your LDR.
I know.
Not necessarily the code enforcement. The
enforcement
of the land development regulation
right.
violations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is part of the enforcement procedure in that stack of documents.
Right. So where are we at with getting this attorney that you talked to, or assistant, where are we at with getting them? You just said 30 days advertisement. How long have we been working on it?
We're 6 months behind schedule right
that's
now.
Right.
We wanted to have this adopted for January.
Right.
You know, we've been into this for a little over 2 years now. Obviously, I didn't anticipate the hurricane, and, you know, we've had setbacks. But for the last 6 months, we've waited on legal. I mean, that's what we're at is we realize that this is the key element in all of it is being able. We can write down 100 things, but if we can't enforce them, then it's pointless to write them down.
Right. So where are we at on the attorney that you're talking about? What do we got to do to bring this attorney on board and get this baby, because it's already walking now, probably running by now, so it skipped and crawling and pacifiers and all that. So where are we at with what's our timeline of getting an attorney, getting these LDRs to where we can get them?
In my opinion, I would love to have them adopted for the beginning of the new year for us, which would have been October. That's what I would like to see, only because that helps us with our record keeping as well.
And I don't anticipate that's an unachievable goal. Like I say, we have been working on this. We had an attorney that was helping us. That fell through. As her co-counsel, for lack of another way of referring to him, has showed no interest. So we've had to reach out and regroup. This particular attorney has been very much forthcoming. Okay? I met her, got introduced to her last week, and we've already got documents and stuff that we're looking at and making things happen. We are working with her. Hopefully, she has not given me a firm date to say, hey, I can come to Dixie County or y'all can come here and sit down and we'll go through these, but I anticipate that that will be forthcoming. I've been back since last Friday, you know, when we all come back. So we've had 3 days this week, and I've been in contact with her every one of those days, and we're making headway. She has sent us some information that is helping me, because these type of procedures are very unique to county government. And when I have talked to many counties, their county attorney is not even involved in the process. Nicole Shally for Levy County doesn't touch it. She said, if I've got a code enforcement issue or I need something answered on code enforcement because I don't know nothing about code enforcement, I'll reach out to Diane. So this is kind of the way it is. I mean, so we're working on it.
Okay, now since you opened that door, I want to ask this question. Would it be feasible for Leon to get him a counsel on this and for code enforcement? Would it be feasible for that to happen? Because like you just said, if other county attorneys, and no, I'm not kicking you by no means, don't think that. I'm just, we're 3 years, honestly, if we go to October, we're 3 years still working on LDRs. So would it be feasible to buy or hire an attorney to handle this for him?
You're going to be looking at more than $13,500. I'm going to tell you, this is not a simple process.
Now, 3 years, and this somewhere along the line, we got people wanting to build stuff. We got people that's wanting to do things within our county, and we don't have the means to do that right now. So you and I have talked about a real estate attorney. Y'all have had coffee, from what I understand, so that's good lawyer talk. But do you see what I'm saying? I mean, and I'm not throwing nobody under the bus. I just want a solution to this problem that is a smooth transition where we get this done. And if he needs a different type of attorney, let's get him one.
What I'd like to do is at our next meeting, bring back to you a plan of action for this and review it then.
That's fine. But I just want to get something moving on this, honestly. And I'm not, and if I offended you, I didn't mean to. Honestly, I didn't. Sometimes I'm like that if the words don't come out right. But this is a long process, and I know for a fact we've got several people waiting on this, and they're wanting to build stuff and do things within our county, and they can't right now. So anyway, you bring us a plan back. Okay, now my other thing is Tim. I don't want no Saturday phone calls, and I don't want no confrontation on your end out there with your people. They calling you, well, such and such, if you got a demo permit, blah, 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 blah. I think you honor all demo permits up to today at 12 o'clock to give Leon time to go back to his office, and anything issued from today at 12 back, you honor them. And then from 12 o'clock today, if Leon don't have his stamp on there, we don't honor him. And I think that would be a lot of squashing of I got this, and just kills the communication. When they pull out a permit, you can go through your list and say, this is a stamp. And Tim, you honor that one.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because as good as what I'm going to say, I'm going to get a phone call, Daniel, all of us up here, he ain't honoring our demo permit.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever's been pulled from 12 o'clock down, just don't argue with it.
Okay.
Take it. And then from 12 o'clock on today, if it don't have Leon's seal of approval on it, they pay tipping fees.
See, my only argument, the only reason I even brought it up is because I got that one guy come in here a while back, had a demo permit, but he couldn't explain to me where he got it.
Right.
He just said some lady out of Tampa.
Right.
But that don't give me nothing.
No, and that's why that's honestly what made me think. Are y'all okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you and him, y'all work that out, and then that stops all the argument. And they know before they even get the permit that, hey, it ain't got no stamp on it, so I'm paying. By the time they get to y'all, that question's answered. Is that fair?
Yep.
Is that good, Leon?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's all I have.
Tim, before you leave, I got one thing. I know we are in possession of another compact. The first district got power. Where are y'all thinking about putting that one?
Yeah, honestly, it needs to get off it. I mean, it's huge there. That's probably one of our, I would say, most problematic, but it's close.
Right there.
And it would stop a lot of the dumpster digging.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
is that where you wanted that, Tim? What's your recommendation?
That's where I would prefer it to be.
I'll make a motion to put it at the rock pit.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. End of discussion.
Y'all go ahead. We need it.
All in favor.
To verify this, that pole gap is a lot cleaner than what it used to be.
It looks better than it ever has.
It looks
and
and the reason I brought that up is any type of equipment, the longer it sets idle, you've got to keep it to get going, so it needs to be plugged in and get back to work. As long as it sets idle, it still starts. I don't know why, but stuff will start happening. And when you do plug it in, you got to work.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Mr. Scott? ain't got nothing about this. Okay?
To know that I will.
Yeah. Just for informational purposes, the Suwannee Tourism Development Council allocates part of their tourism tax to be used for improvements to our recreational facilities that are used by our visitors as well as our citizens. So right now we put out, using some of those funds, we put out bids for two pavilions to go by the pickleball courts. Because definitely in Suwannee they're bringing tents and trying to stay covered. So we're working on that right now for both of our pickleball facilities because they've been very popular. Fireworks. First of all, golf season's going great from everything I've heard. We have several fireworks programs set up. Jody, are you all doing the fireworks on the 3rd?
We're doing them on the 4th like we always do. We're doing something a little bit different. I was going to wait till the information arrives, but then you brought it up. I'm going to go ahead and lay that out there. It's 7 o'clock. We're going to start a little early. I'm going to do the national anthem and the prayer like we normally do. But then we're going to allow any candidates that want to come speak. Steve's setting up a sound system that you can hear from Two Sisters to my old store. So anybody that wants to speak, even the candidates running against me, can get it. They'll have 5 minutes to get up there. There won't be no Q&A because everybody's scattered so far, but there'll be a lot of people that they can talk to and try to get their agenda and what their plan is out.
Steen Hatchie is having their fireworks at the community center on the 4th. Horseshoe Beach is going to have them on Saturday the 6th. I'm not sure if we have any events going on with that. Does anyone know at Horseshoe?
Just a parade is all up. The only other thing I'm aware of.
But the parade's going to be on the 4th.
They're going to do one on the 4th and the 6th.
Oh, they're going to do that?
Okay,
good. All right.
What time does those start?
The parade?
Yes.
7:30.
I don't know.
Okay. If y'all need any help, I've got the wholesaler. I can get y'all hooked up with a wholesaler on those fireworks.
On the fireworks? Yeah, that's already taken care of for this year, but we'll surely make contact with you after this again.
Thanks.
So they're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
As you know.
Yes, I've been doing it for 20-something years, I can tell you. Yeah. My wife said we finally made it, by the way. They did a big, she's seen a write-up of all the fireworks around the area, Jacksonville, Gainesville, Ocala, Crystal River.
Terrific.
Old Town Stevenson Fireworks is in the list.
Cool.
If y'all need somebody to help with the fireworks, I'll be more than glad to do a finale for you.
Okay.
If y'all would like. I don't want to step on nobody's toes. I offered that last year.
I'll pass that on. Thank you.
And like the gentleman that y'all hired that y'all was dissatisfied, the reason I bring that up, it helped y'all get that. He's the one that supplies fireworks, and he was willing to try to help y'all out because he felt bad the way that guy done it. So.
Thank you.
And,
yes, sir.
And I think the Horseshoe Beach fireworks was on Channel 20 this morning also, so. Get a little more popularity there. Suwannee will be having their fireworks on the 6th also. They'll have the golf cart parade starting at 5, with the band at 8, and then the fireworks at 9:30. So those are the main celebrations that I know are going about. So everybody have a good and safe holiday.
And one other thing on the fireworks up there at the shop, that thing is scattered all over. Vendors are welcome. But there is no certain road that people walk up and down. So if you want to go up there and sell stuff, more than likely you can set up somewhere, but you're going to need a side-by-side or something to travel to try to facilitate that.
Mr. Chairman, right. If I can mention something with Leon and Ms. Kay mentioned the pavilion. Leon mentioned to me that in that code, the new floor building code, the largest pavilion in the flood zone, which would be Suwannee, Horseshoe, Shirt Park, and everything else, right now is only a 10 by 10.
It's a
V. It's a V. Yeah.
The AE is 600. But yeah, the one that we're dealing with in the county is Horseshoe Park and the Shirt Park. So those larger pavilions, if we cannot get that building code changed through CRC or whatever the issue is, we will have to look at will be in Duck Parks. As far as...
What is the square footage just allowed?
A 10-foot by 10-foot pavilion.
Yeah, there's a lot of heat on that right now.
We can do a 10-foot by 10-foot with awnings. Roll out, roll back.
Just keep that in mind if it comes about where if anybody's on that call, that we can push that.
Okay.
So, are we...
Aren't there going to be genders in 20 Saturday?
There should be.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
Ms. Kay, you mentioned pickleball courts and Swanee. I kind of missed some of what you said about the bleachers and the covered work. Say that again, please.
Right, so what we're doing is we're going to bid for a 15 by 30 covered pavilion. Pole barn pavilion. Instead of doing bleachers, so we'll have some picnic tables in there and people can bring their chairs and such like that.
How far out are we from that?
I told people I needed the bids in next Monday, and hopefully we'll be able to from what I've been told by the vendors that I've been talking to.
I will say this. The Board of Commissioners done pickleball in Swanee, and I didn't know about pickleball. I thought they went on hamburgers, and I've said that before. But it's a very, very big thing down yonder. And they use them
every day.
Every day. They have tournaments. They have this.
They have shirts. They put things. They are very regular.
And so any help like that, I truly appreciate it. And it falls right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. And the local players all the time letting me know that the people from New Jersey were out there playing with them, and our visitors are also enjoying it. So it's a win-win for everybody.
It's went over real big down.
I was gonna say, Gina has a big group.
It was down there the other day. It's putting up the volleyball poles for future volleyball court now. And there was a bunch of people there from Colorado, and then they were staying over there in a little RV park, and they played there all weekend long.
Oh, terrific!
And every time you go by on Saturday, they're having tons of people there.
Terrific! Yeah. Hutch put up a nice fence between the court and the swine. Some of the players were discussing that because they were feeling that was having fun.
It's been a big success. I'm going to leave us alone, but I can't. whenever we talked about pickleball courts, he thought they went on hamburgers too. But it's amazing what they can do. They've done a really good job down there. It turned out great. And while we were there at Glendale's Park, I think the... I thank Scott and them for the helipad down there. That looks really good. And we'll get our windsock up. Billy, where are you at? We need a truck down yonder to put a windsock up.
Okay.
So thank y'all for handling that and appreciate your office also, Paul, on that. That's it.
Okay, I wholeheartedly thank you for everything you do.
Thank you.
Sam, you got anything?
I don't have anything, but I would like to recognize and thank Miss Denise Stockenberg. Is that how you say it? Okay. She is our intern manager for FAC for being here with us today.
My pleasure to be here.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Paul.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, if you would like to turn to the management report. We'll start with number one. If you remember back at the workshop that Ms. Jackie put on, we talked about the purchase order software. So I would like to request board approval to accept the quote from Tyler Technologies in the amount of $11,496 for the purchase of the purchase order software initial setup, and then $5,196 in reoccurring annual fees for that.
Motion. We've got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Osteen. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Number two, we request board approval to execute the Pastor & Associates LLC work order 24-11R for runway 42 pavement rehabilitation at the airport in the amount of $189,370.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
And just for information, we did have that bid opening yesterday, so Pastor Rowe and Associates are working through that to determine if it was a responsive bid to move forward with that project. Number three, request board approval of the North Florida Professional Services Task Work Order for the District 1 Fire Station Number 3 for engineering and CEI in the amount of $223,250.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye. Number four, request board approval of the North Florida Professional Services Task Work Order for the Horseshoe Beach Fire Station Number 6 for engineering and CEI in an amount of $287,700.
Motion. Second, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Request board approval of the Meridian Behavioral Healthcare Contract for fiscal year 2024-2025 in the amount of $56,361, as well as the donation of the use of the land that the center is located on Veterans Road and U.S. Highway 19 at Cross City. That value of that space is estimated at $1,800 per year.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Request board approval to use North Florida Professional Services as a consultant for the Restore Act grant. And if approved, we will bring the contract back at the next board meeting.
Motion.
Second, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Number seven, request board approval for ship rehab reimbursement for Jennifer King in the amount of $24,604.95.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Number eight, request board approval to allow Richard Descano to hold a community celebration event at Purvis Landing on Wednesday, July 3rd, 2024, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. The local residents agreed to clean up any refuse after the event, and the event will be open to the public.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in
discussion.
What is the event?
They're going to have a 4th of July celebration down there, a community event where they're just going to be grilling hamburgers, hot dogs, giving out food and pizzas.
They're not going to be shooting fireworks, stuff like that.
There was an issue concerning the fireworks. I did inform Mr. Richard that there was an ordinance against shooting off or having possession of fireworks in a county park. He assured me that they have other alternatives to either do it off of a property or do it possibly off of a boat out of the river. He assured me there would not be any shooting off of fireworks within the county park.
He brought in paperwork yesterday, which I forgot to bring with me, showing the lot that they are going to be shooting fireworks off of, which is the next door neighbor to the park.
They're off of private property and doesn't concern us with them. The things that they want to do within the confines of the county park is no more than community picnic with food and things like that. So unless the attorney or the board sees any issue with it, I'm asking approval for them to move forward.
The only issue I had seen was the fireworks being shot off in the park. We did discuss that, and they have said they will not do that. The only other, you know, concern is, like anything, is our park does have no consumption of beer, wine, alcohol, that type of thing. But again, that is, you know, standard. They know that. It's in any county park. That's just a policing issue, an enforcement issue, if they do.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Who was the second one?
I was. Mr. Hatch.
Thank you.
That's it for the action item boards. Just a couple of informational items. The Stormwater Task Force will hold a public meeting here at the BOCC meeting room on Thursday, July the 18th. 5 o'clock prior to the regular board meeting, and this is to inform the public of past projects completed and future projects concerning flooding issues. So Mr. David Capo and Mr. DeWatt will hold that meeting here open to the public. Number two, the mayor and the council of the town of Horseshoe Beach has requested a public workshop with the county and our emergency management to discuss
future collaboration between the county and the town of Horseshoe Beach regarding emergency response services. They would like to hold that meeting on July the 30th at 6 p.m. down at the town of Horseshoe Beach. The board is in agreement to having a workshop down there with the town of Horseshoe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes,
when I put the invite out that you guys on,
okay.
Yes.
You'll have it on your calendar.
Okay.
July 30th.
I would think that we're hosting a meeting that we would advertise it, but I'm not sure.
We have to too. Yes.
Yeah, have to advertise it as a board.
Yeah. You want to say?
Says how y'all hosting? Shrimp?
big seafood boil?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that a yes?
Only it's under $100.
Okay. Just a reminder that county offices will be closed on Thursday, July the 4th, and Friday, July the 5th, in observation of Tennessee, and as well as Monday, July the 8th, for the zone day of the board. So with that, Mr. Chairman, if you don't have anything else for me, that concludes my portion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Powell. Ms. Chayna, you got anything?
I want to give you all an update. There was a settlement reached in the Smith case. We did not have mediation right prior to mediation. They canceled it. The parties, the attorneys for both sides, of course, was working together, and they did reach a settlement agreement. The Melton case is still looming over us. As far as that goes, the anticipation is a much smaller settlement. That one, if they may come to court, we have to. I anticipate they'll still reach a settlement. But this was $135,000.
Will you have to agree to that?
Well,
I mean,
I'm
not against it. I just want it done.
Right. They have reached out to us for our consent, like they always do, but it's well under the limit of what the insurance company handles.
Wait a minute. Well, I don't have to make a motion. I already made the motion two or three meetings ago about the motion to settle it. So
I mean, we did at a considerably higher rate than what it is here, but it is kind of a bitter pill to swallow, especially, you know, when the fault, which is a good thing for us as far as the fault law, the changed a little bit. This happened after this accident, of course, so this one fell outside of that limit. But there is hope that maybe going forward, the change in that law will benefit us, because if they're 50% responsible, then supposedly our liability is pretty much nil, if they're at least 50%. And most of the ones we've had, especially this one, was definitely well above 50%. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I believe the county shouldn't have paid the $135,000, so that was due on that call.
Exactly. But it is very much a food happy world. I mean, you see all the billboards with all these attorneys that collected all these millions of dollars. And you see that out there, we're going to continue to have lawsuits. And, of course, businesses are at the largest risk. The blessing for the state, or for us, is that we're considered sovereign, so our liability is capped. Gentlemen, other than that, I continue to work on the code enforcement and the other issues, but everything else is moving forward.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Hickenbottom?
I want to give Chayna my condolences for passing up Aunt Catherine. She was a big part of this community, and she's going to be sorely missed.
Yes.
Yeah, the services for her are going to be Saturday at the high school gym, the new high school, is my understanding. The meet and greet, bad term, but whatever, the viewing will be at 10, and the services will be at 11. Of course, everyone.
Yes, I just want to try and get an update from Connie. I got notice from her July 1st. So we did receive our information from Charlotte Property Appraiser, so we are working on some numbers now. Some of the different millage rates that we can bring back to y'all. So of course we'll have to vote on that next week, and we can't adjust that, but we are going to, you know, if once you vote on it, you can't go up, but you can go down. So we're working on some numbers so that we can give y'all some scenarios. So we will vote on that next week. We are still working with county manager's office, working on budget, department heads, trying to get everybody's numbers right. Just remember the meetings in September for budget. Those are just really, really super important. That's all I have. If you got something for finance.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams.
I want to give my condolences to Ms. Chana, of course, and her family. We've passed this back. Very, very important lady, this community. She was. The next thing I got on here is I got a couple of things for Paul. Got with him earlier. Need the sidewalks at Old Town School. Be cleaned off, trimmed up. Like to have that done before school. And let's keep... Just keep on with that crosswalk there at Anderson and Rick Frains going in there.
See if we can try to get that
took care of, too, because that sounds like that's definitely needed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I had reached out to Mr. Pat Upshaw at DOT over in Chiefland, and he did respond to me with some options that he's going to provide to us and also some possibility sources of funding for that project.
Good deal. Good deal. All right, that. Just everybody have a safe 4th of July and a
great weekend. That's all I got.
Same, Ms. Chana and her family offer our condolences. Well, Ms. Catherine, she'll be greatly missed within our community. She's done a lot of good for a lot of folks. The next thing is actually Mr. Bill. I see you got, I got your thing, and I've asked you to come up with him, and I've been talking about this already, and I apologize. I was going to call you yesterday, and believe it or not, my phone rang a couple of times and I got busy.
You are a busy man, I know, and I thank you all for hearing me out today. What I'm proposing is to extend my lease at Rivers Aviation at Cross City Airport for an additional 10 years in order to make it financially feasible for me to put up some more shade hangers. We all know there's a definite need for hangers at our airport. I know the county has some grant money and is in the process of getting some bids to put them up. The waiting lists that are in existence are, you know, we couldn't put up enough hangers for it to keep everybody happy. I would not in any way take any bread off the county's table. If someone's in my hangar and they're on your waiting list, their name comes up, I will help them move because there's always somebody right behind them. To give you an example, one of my customers sold his airplane Friday. Before it was off the airport, I had his space rented in my hand. And that guy is also a benefit to our aviation community in that he is a licensed airframe and power plant mechanic with inspection authorization. So, golly, now we got a licensed mechanic on the field, which we haven't had since Paul Patton.
Will he work on airboats?
Tongue twisted. We're going to use the existing land, which is, you know, on the existing lease. I gave a couple of propositions out there to you all. I've got more. The proposal is the same verbiage as the existing lease with some numbers changed. Now, a couple of y'all expressed a concern that my existing lease has been that way for 24 years and the rent's never gone up. Well, I just doubled it on my proposal. Just double, right, you know, right now. And let's just go with that. Well, of course, when this lease expires, all this belongs to the county. Another benefit is that the more aircraft we have based at our airport, the more aircraft movements, that is, takeoffs and landings, the more fuel sold, the higher our database is for obtaining grant money from the FAA and the DOT for future airport improvements. You know, if there's two airplanes on an airport, they look over, just look at us like they don't need anything. But, you know, as you know, all the hangars are full. My hangars are full. And, you know, if I got approval on this, we'll put a deposit on the first four hangars. Shade hangers, and by the way, they're already verbally promised, so there is a need for them. And I hope you all will consider that. I think it's a win-win situation for everybody. I hope to do this just as soon as possible.
I'd love to see it happen. Paul, y'all review them numbers and bring something back, honestly, at our next one. And I hate to put y'all to the next board meeting, but let's look at what he's proposed, give it to the board, and let's make a decision on it, because I'm ready to make a decision right now.
Myself and Ms. Chana can look that over, and we can bring back, you know, exactly what he's proposing, and then if the board approves, we can get execution of that commitment.
Yep. Is that good enough for Bill?
Yes,
give you a two-week
yes.
window to,
yes.
to get an answer, yes mm-hmm. or no? And
that's fine. Here is what I'm proposing. That's the proposed lease. On the back is the existing lease.
Okay.
You will see that they
got this. You got this, Taylor?
He gave me one, both.
Okay. Yep. You will see that they are the exact wording.
Yeah, the
amount
yes.
and the dates.
Exactly.
I could sweeten the pot a little bit here. I was thinking about this on the way to town this morning. According to the way this is written, the increase in the lease payment wouldn't take effect until the new lease did, when the existing lease expires and 5 years. Just go ahead and start making the double payment. I mean, the county's been very good to me in the past with this lucrative lease. It made me able to stay in business, pay for what I've done, and it's time to move ahead. So, you know, again, I thank you all, and I will see that I'm on the docket for the next one.
Barbie, can you make sure that Mr. Bell's on there?
Do I need to contact you later, or can you
Jenny, do you need him for anything? Yeah, it'll be done.
Okay.
What's the last name?
Palmer. Bill Palmer.
It's Red Roof Aviation. Thank you all again. Have a very safe 4th of July.
You too, sir.
God bless America.
Yes, thank you.
The other thing I got is I got to say something about Swanee again. It looks really nice down there. Invite everybody to the fireworks, golf cart parade. Please come down and put your golf cart in the parade and down there. Golf carts, and I hope everybody has a safe and wonderful 4th of July. Jody, please be careful in that fireworks.
Hey. At least I always blow myself up, not somebody else. Yeah, I'm already set, because I done fell at horseshoe and blacked my eye, cut my arm, chasing the fish, so I'm already wounded, so I'll just be in good shape.
Mr. Gray, do you have anything to add to? Thank you for coming.
Thank you for trusting us. We really like to do a lot of work on hand, and it's been a few years since we've done anything in Dixon County, so.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You done? Mr. Osteen?
Yes, I'd like for everyone to keep Miss Catherine McGinnis' family in thoughts and prayers. She's been a big part of our community for many years. And just, Shana, anything y'all need? Much. I appreciate all the work you've been doing down there on that Gina Highway, the ditches and stuff, the mulcher. It looks really good. And the jail and bail that we've done last weekend down there, it It done real well, real well. We're going to do it. We're going to do it with a cook-off down there also here shortly. And the movie nights that's been going on down there, it's been going real well. And I appreciate everybody that's been involved with it. Thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Jody? Shayna, my hat's off to you, but I got a challenge for you.
All
right, it's a big choose a cat hat. Somebody's got to pick up that torch for them youngins at the school with them scholarships and all that stuff to continue that on.
Yeah, she, I mean, that was her heart. She loved that stuff, and she worked it right up till she couldn't work it no more.
That's all right. I challenge you to pick that torch up and keep it burning.
I ain't got her energy. She quit.
The other thing I wish everybody had happy for you, Eli. I want to thank Hutch. He's getting all kind of thanking, but he did something that most don't. We had a man that had a driveway that every time it rained, it created a problem. We never could get there to see what was happening. Well, I just happened to be doing land clearing up the road, and it come a monsoon. I run down there and shot a video, sent it to him. Within hours, we was fixing the man's road. It all comes together sometime.
Thank you,
prayers go out to Miss Cat, because I can sit here and go on and on and on. Miss Cat, Sunday school teacher. I've actually dug out two or three Bibles that she gave me over the last 52 years or 50 years of my life, and raised up with Rhonda and her kids. So she was like a mom to me, and mentor and everything else. Always cheered me on, and going to miss her. But I know where she's at. I definitely know where she's at. And but I just keep that family in the prayers, and I want to wish everybody happy 4th. Please be safe, and don't pull a Jody Stevenson and tip a firework over and get shot with it, because a long time ago before Jody used to do it, action pump. Used to do it, and I understand exactly. Very easy to do. Very easy to do. So please be careful. And we've had a wonderful crowd, a good meeting. And so, Hutch, you had 4 thank yous. Now you got 5 thank yous. You got this county from one end to the other. Tell your guys, your cleanup guys, your garbage guys, thank you, because they're doing a great job.
I couldn't do it without
y'all. Yeah. We sure can't do it without you and the guys doing the work. So thank you, and make sure you tell all the guys that they got 5 thank yous up here. All right, now it's y'all's turn. Anybody like to say anything? Miss Mark?
I just wondered if there's some way at some point in time that we could get cost analysis comparison with the sales compact.
Okay.
If that is, how it is helping, how much it is helping with the crash of the National
Greenfield.
I'm just curious.
Tim, do you want to hit on that a little bit, or do you, is that, you want to do some research on it? Because I can tell you a little bit.
I'm sure there's probably not numbers available right now.
Oh, yeah, we've been running one for a while at PoGap, and you can see it considerably. I think for every, what was that, a 30-yard can?
40-yard
can, so for every 2.5 of them, that's a trailer load. What would be ideal is if we can ever get set up to carry that straight to Greenville, and that takes from going out to the transfer station, dumping it, and carrying it back, then you still have to manpower it into the trailer, and then take the truck and truck it on to. But our ultimate goal would be, honestly, to have a truck that can steady haul. So with our amount of people that's moved in, it's taking some workload there off of it to every 2.5 loads, you've actually hauled an extra semi load of trash that you did not have to handle out here at the transfer station. With manpower, machinery, hydraulic hose, I mean, you know the list of running equipment. So actually that's our end goal. So that's why we keep trying to put compactors in place to lighten the load at the transfer station. And then what that does also, it takes us on the DEP side to where we don't have the trash on the hill, and actually might, I ain't saying we leave trash on the hill, but
who knows, every once in a while you might have something up where DEP don't like, and so that will save us some money on finance and stuff like that. But yes, we do have some numbers, and I'm sure Tim can gather them up. But that's the method behind the madness.
One other thing on that is on that compactor, economically wise, it's saving the taxpayers a lot of money. We got to haul that all the way to Greenville, and you can only pack it so much in them trucks. You can haul a load of fluff up there. Cost the same amount of fuel if you can haul that compacted, which you can get a lot more on the truck weight-wise. So they're almost hauling close to twice as much garbage on one of them compacted trucks than the other. You take the fuel and the man and the hours it takes to go to Greenville back, that's a significant savings right there.
It also saves a lot of time for people from digging in them dumpsters, too. That's a lot of man hours also.
Anybody else? Nobody else. Got nothing to say. Need a motion adjourned. You got a motion, Ms. Wood, adjourned?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch.